Thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Friends, have you got your Bibles with you? Can you turn to the New Testament book of Hebrews? The New Testament book of Hebrews, and we're going to chapter 12 tonight. We're going to chapter 12, and we're going to start reading from verse 1. So the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and we'll commence to read at verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. Amen. May the God add a blessing to the reading from his word tonight. It is a well-known portion of scripture, Hebrews chapter 12. There are a couple of phrases, there are a couple of lines in there, several lines in fact, where you could make or have couples of sermons and messages that would be good for gospel meetings. There is the run the race, the endurance of running the race. There's been many sermons and gospel messages on that. There's also looking on to Jesus, which we have up on the wall here behind us. We could talk about enduring the cross, about Jesus enduring the cross. We could talk about Jesus having sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But it's another two words that I want to concentrate on tonight that we find in Hebrews chapter 12. And in some ways, it carries on a wee bit from what Pastor Billy McCandless spoke on at Mervyn's Thanksgiving service. And he asked the question that day, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? What a wonderful question. Something maybe we should just pause and allow everyone to ponder for a second. What think ye of Christ? But on Tuesday, I just heard these two words spoke, and they just struck a chord with me immediately. And I really hadn't on Tuesday. I wasn't sure what I was going to speak on here tonight. And from Tuesday onwards, these two words stayed with me. And it is simply this here. They are found in Hebrews 12 and verse 3. And they're the second and third word of that verse. Consider him. Consider him. And that's what I want to put across tonight. Consider him. Consider Jesus. To consider is basically just to think carefully about something before we would make a decision. It involves a certain amount of reflection, and it involves a certain amount of deliberation, taking factors into account. So that's what we do when we consider something. And that's what I want to try and get through to everybody tonight. And that's for sinner and saint alike, that we consider, we think carefully, we deliberate, we take into factors into account when we consider Jesus this evening. You know, in life we consider lots of things, don't we? Yes, sometimes we have to consider our health, both mental, physically, and emotionally, we have to consider, we have to carefully think about it, we have to reflect, we have to deliberate, and we have to take factors into account when we consider our health. We also have considerations to take into account in our relationships, connections with family and friends. We have to consider at some stage in our life whether we'll go and ask a certain girl out or a certain boy out, and then it comes to the stage where we have to consider, will I marry this girl or this boy? And afterwards then, you'll consider where you went wrong after that, okay? But we don't want to go there. Can't talk about myself all the time, okay? Sorry, dear. Then we have to consider sometimes about finance. We have to think about, and we consider sustainability of finances, of investments, of business ventures. That's something that I'm thinking of at home, and thinking of building a calf house at home, and dear me, the price of it would nearly put you off. I would consider actually maybe not doing it. But when you're involved in such things, and people that are involved in businesses, and you consider where you're going and what direction you're going in all the time. Yes, we consider all those things that I've said about already, but there are a few things I want us all to look at and considering about Jesus tonight, and forgetting all about worldly possessions and worldly goods. And we turn and we simply say we want to consider him. We want to consider Jesus tonight. First of all, I want to consider him as Savior. I want us to consider him as Savior tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10 says that the living God is the Savior of all men. The living God is the Savior of, not some men, all men. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14 says this here, that the Father has sent his Son to be Savior of the world. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11 says, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. Consider him your Savior. Have you considered him as your Savior? Has it been something that has come across your mind? Has it been something that has entered into your thinking at some stage in the past? Is it something you've just heard about when you come to something like church and you hear it spoke on as you are tonight? Have you ever considered him as your Savior? Thinking again about what I said earlier on about carefully thinking about something before you make a decision. You deliberate over it, taking all factors into account. Have you considered him, Jesus, your Savior? Has there ever been a moment and ever been a point in time where you have been there? Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says this here, there is salvation and no one else. There is salvation and no one else. No other name is given among men whereby ye must be saved. Have you considered him as your Savior? We've had great men and we've had great leaders over the history of the world. If you're into your history, you can sit down and read through many different men and women. There's the likes of Winston Churchill, who was Prime Minister of Britain during the war. Abraham Lincoln, who was a very popular, in fact, considered to be the greatest, if not one of the greatest, of the presidents of the United States of America. Nelson Mandela is upheld by many people in South Africa. And on the other side of the coin, he's not looked upon as a great leader at all. Mahatma Gandhi, the leader of India, took them to independence against the British, seen as being a great leader, great man. Napoleon, who led a change in Europe. Alex the Great, who led changes across Asia. Maybe not all for the good, but seen as being great leaders, seen as being great men. And they all were great people in their own right to a certain extent. And there's been many books written about all of them, and if you're into history, you can follow them, you can read up on them and all the rest. They've been written. But not one of them are mentioned in any way, shape, or form as being the savior of this world. Acts 4:12, we've already said it. Salvation is in no one else. No other name is given amongst men whereby you must be saved. Have you considered him as your savior? Have you considered him as your redeemer? The concept of redeemer or redeeming comes from Boaz, the story of Boaz and Ruth in the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. It implies that someone who pays the price, someone must pay the price, someone has to pay the price to set you free from your debt. Friends, Jesus paid your debt and my debt on Calvary's tree. Have you ever considered him your redeemer? Have you ever considered Jesus as the one, the only one who can redeem you from the debt that you owe to God? He's the redeemer who rescues us from darkness. He redeems us from evil. He makes peace between us and God. It is Jesus who stands in that gap between God and man. Nobody else can stand there. There's no other. There's a list of names again. We'll go back to them. Not one of them can stand in that gap between God and man. Only Jesus can redeem through his precious blood. Because he has bought you back. He has restored the lost rights that sin, when it came into this world, man lost. He has paid the ransom. Have you considered him your redeemer? Have you considered Jesus your redeemer? Thirdly, have you considered him your mediator? Have you ever considered him to be your mediator? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Have you ever considered him your mediator? Who have you got, if you haven't got Jesus, to represent you? Who's going to be your mediator if it's not Jesus? I know there's good solicitors down the street. There's probably one on every street in Ballymoney. You can go to them to seek advice on legal matters. We did that last year. Yvonne and I, we both met our walls last year and put everything in order. And we went along, and Leo was good man, good fella, a neighbour of mine. And we made our walls. And good and all as Leo is, I'm not going to ask him to represent me before an almighty God. You see, there's no man on earth, nobody, who will be able to mediate between you and God, dear friend. Have you considered him, your mediator? A few weeks ago, Noah was speaking here in the church. And obviously we haven't had a pastor's last year, and we've been filling up the speaking engagements by using different people, and I felt led just to encourage some of the young people to be able to come up and take part and pass on wee messages and words and that there. Noah's been up, Nerla's been up, Emma has been up, and even Joanne, we got Joanne up as well, and one or two others, trying to encourage people to take that next step and serving God, stretching people a wee bit. And Noah was up a few weeks ago, and he did brilliantly. The mother down here on the right-hand side was more nervous than Noah on the night. She said to me, "Oh, I'm nervous about him, I'm nervous about him." I said, "What do you, he's as calm as a cucumber." And Adele said this here to me. She says, "Oh, I'm scared that he'll maybe say something wrong, or he'll do something wrong, or I'll not be right or anything like that." And I said, "Don't you worry a thing about him." I says, "He will be all right." Because it reminded me of a story in my life when I was that age. If I can remember that far back, it does remind me. I can remember that far back. I was a young Christian. I was learning about God and reading my Bible and praying, as you do. And then what happens, young people, as you start to develop, you'll get opportunities to share a wee word of testimony. These wee things are for you to stretch you as a believer. And I done that as well. Then I was asked to speak at a few youth events, which was the next step up. It was the next progression forward, as you do, to stretch you, to learn a wee bit more, to take the next step in your walk with God. And that'll happen to some of you young people as well. And then you get a chance to speak to the older people then. That's the next progression. They give you the opportunity to speak to the older people at a more mainstream meeting. And so the same thing happened to me. I was asked to come along, and I did. I thought I had done reasonably well. Two of the characters involved in my story was Mary and Mary Magdalene. And I went home, and I thought, "Oh, what a good boy have I been. I thought I've done all right here." But one thing that I always would do, I was always sort of just, how did I do? Did I say that right? Could I have said that better? Could I maybe shut up there and said nothing? And to my horror, as I contemplated what I had said, somewhere along the line, I don't know how I'd done it, I don't know what had happened, but my references to Mary Magdalene should have been for Mary, and my references to Mary should have been for Mary Magdalene. And I thought, "Oh my goodness, I've got this all wrong. What am I going to do?" And I rang the only man who I could think of, and that was Mervyn. And I rang Mervyn, and I said, "Mervyn, I'm in a bit of a pickle. I've done something terribly wrong." And I explained to him. And he had been at the meeting that night, and he just said to me down the phone, he says, "Mark," he says, "I never noticed." He could have been sleeping. I don't know. There were one or two maybe didn't do a wee bit of sleeping back in the day. He said, "Never you worry a thing about it." And then he spoke to me, and he calmed me down on the phone. And he says, "Away on me, you'll be the best." And I was. And do you know why I was? Because I had a mediator. I had a mediator whose name is Jesus. And when we fail, and when we stumble, and when we present something not the way maybe he would have wanted me to do it, and I make mistakes, and you grow cold sometimes, and maybe you sin, you're disobedient, you feel unworthy. Friends, we have a mediator, and his name is Jesus. Have you ever considered him to be your mediator? Have you ever considered him to be your shepherd? John chapter 10, verse 11 says, Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd and give my life for the sheep. Have you ever considered him to be your shepherd? Have you ever considered him to be your teacher? Have you ever considered him to be your Messiah? Have you ever considered him to be the Lamb of God? Have you ever considered him to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Have you ever considered him to be your rock tonight? Have you ever considered him to be your Lord tonight? Have you ever considered him? As we finish off tonight, it's a wee bit harder to speak, because obviously we're all in the positive there, and there's hope. But unfortunately for many people, when they consider Jesus, when they consider Christ, when they consider all that they've heard on many occasions, they consider him as a missed opportunity. They have to consider Jesus as a missed opportunity. And maybe you've heard it spoken several times, several nights, in different places. Maybe even here you've come repeatedly. But it's a missed opportunity when you consider him. Perhaps maybe for months, perhaps even, heaven forbid, years, you've sat under the sound of the gospel. But as you sit here tonight, he, considering him, he is a missed opportunity. You see, the sad fact of life and the sad fact of the truth of God's word, and we must speak it, even though it is hard to speak it, is that when you're in a lost eternity, you will consider him. You will consider him with remorse. You will, dear soul, consider him with sorrow. You will consider him with heartache and heartbreak. You will consider him with self-condemnation. You will consider him with anguish and grief. And you will consider him as a mistake you made in not trusting him. Jesus said 6 times in Matthew and once in Luke about the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, which are associated with judgment. They're associated with outer darkness, and they're associated with the fiery furnace, and they're associated with a lost eternity. You will weep, dear soul, through all eternity. considering him with remorse, sorrow, heartache, self-condemnation, anguish and grief at the mistakes you made in not trusting Jesus as your own personal Savior and friend. There will be those who will weep, and they will weep, and they will weep. And dear soul, this is an eternity that will never, ever end. The memory of lost and missed opportunities of getting yourself right with a holy God through accepting Jesus Christ into your heart. There will be gnashing of teeth. Read just a wee bit recently and heard someone speaking on that. That will be people who will just be standing with their fists up, just shouting at God and saying, "Why did you send me here? Why did you put me here? I don't deserve to be here." And they will gnash their teeth forever and forever and forever. And the weeping and the gnashing, and it never, ever ends, dear soul. It will never, ever end. You will consider him with remorse, sorrow, heartache, anguish and grief. Every single moment of eternity. It's not easy to say. It's not easy to bring, but it is the truth. It's hard, it's harsh, but it is the reality. And good old fashion will bring the results in reverse order. Have you ever considered him as your mediator? That one who will stand before God and say, "This person, this soul is mine. He accepted me." And Jesus will be able to speak for you on that judgment day. If you don't know him, dear soul, if you don't know him, if you don't know him, the outcome is grim. It is as simple as that. Have you considered him as your mediator? Have you considered him as your redeemer? Oh, dear soul, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And only Jesus can save you. He is the only name, we've heard that. He is the only one who will pay the price. He is the only one who can set you free. He is the only one who has paid the ransom for you and for me. Have you considered him your Redeemer? I started with Savior and I'll end with it. Have you considered him as your Savior? The reality, folks, tonight, is that as we sit here and as I speak and as you sit and hopefully listen, and I haven't bored you to tears, the reality of the situation that we find ourselves at this precise second in time is that you are considering him, because you have a choice to make. Here and now, this very second, you have been afforded this opportunity again, maybe for some, to get right with God. You have been afforded this opportunity tonight to consider Jesus. You have been afforded this opportunity tonight to look yet again at where you are heading, the direction in which your life is going. And it's a challenge to us who believe already. Are we in the right path? Are we going in the correct direction, the right direction? Are we obedient to our Master? We are at a moment again where we have to consider Him. So what's it going to be? What's it going to be? We're thankful. We're thankful. You should be thankful tonight that you have the opportunity. There are a lot of people who don't get the opportunity. There are a lot of people who don't take the opportunity. And there are a lot of people who miss the opportunity time and time again. Dear soul, do not miss the opportunity tonight. I hope, I pray that you have heard the gospel again. You may not understand it all. I understand that you may not understand it all. But if I can, in finishing, just you're lost without Jesus. You need Him. He is the only way. There is no other way. Only Him. You need to get right with God, dear soul. You need to get right with God. Time is short. Time is short. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. None of us. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So will you consider Him tonight? Will you consider Him as your Savior? Will you consider Him as the way back to God tonight? Will you consider Him the Redeemer? Will you consider Him your Mediator? Will you consider Him your Shepherd? What a Savior He is. What a wonderful Jesus we serve. I don't say it to try and scare people. It is the reality of life. It is the reality of eternity. It is the reality of where we are at. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Jesus, oh dear soul tonight, consider Him. Consider Him. Blessed be His wonderful.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.